نفس ذائقة الموت. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن القبر أول منازل الآخرة. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام ما رأيت منظرا إلا والقبر أفظع منه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. وقال ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه من قرأ تبارك الذي بيده الملك كل ليلة منعه الله تعالى بها من عذاب القبر. وكنا في عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نسميها المانعة. رواه النسائي أو كما قال ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري يسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. وانفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. My dear respected brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the blessed tawfiq, for allowing us to attend this beautiful gathering of Jumu'ah. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accepted from us, accept the Jumu'ah of all the Muslimin all over the world, that He forgive us and those who have passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them nur in the qubur, grant them light in their graves, and to forgive all their sins, and raise them with Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and give them al-jannah fiddaus. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. May the respected brothers and elders and sisters in Islam. Is that okay?
I can change if you can choose.
Okay, this is fine. This is fine. The Messenger, as described in the Quran, has been given many names. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been given many names. And you all probably heard them, Sirajan Munira, Mubashiran Munadira, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them as the person who gives Bashir and Nadir. There is a Bashara and a Nazara, right? There is a glad tiding and a warning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives. And people often they hear and they say, oh, everything should be good, we should hear all the good things. And no one wants to hear any of the warnings. And I'm not saying it because I'm going to blast everyone with a bunch of warnings right now. What I want everyone to recognize is the Prophet ﷺ is described in a very beautiful way in the Quran. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. That we did not send you except as a mercy for all of the worlds. The Prophet ﷺ, by his nature, by his that, is a rahmah. So when a person hears any nadir, any glad tidings, any congrats from the Prophet ﷺ, know that's from the mercy of Nabi ﷺ. And when they hear any warning, they should recognize that is also a mercy of Nabi ﷺ. People don't recognize it like that. People think that the khatib is trying to shoot us down and tell us that you're going to all Jahannam. La ilaha illallah. I think the khatib's maqsad was to tell everyone that you should not do these things so you don't go to Jahannam. The warning is there. I'll give you a very beautiful example. In Surah Ar-Rahman, the surah that's named Ar-Rahman, in that surah Allah described Jahannam. And people will be like, La ilaha illallah, this is the surah about Rahman. Why is Allah talking about Jahannam? Right? هذه جهنم التي يكذب المجرمون يطوفون بينها وبين حميم آن. And Allah describes in a very vivid way. He says they'll make tawaf in Jahannam between the area of boiling water and the area of the boiling and the burning fire. They'll go from burning fire and they'll be so hot and exhausted from being in the fire for so long. They will make tawaf. They'll move from there and go to the area where there's water for them. And then they'll try to drink the water, but it's boiling hot, so it burns everything on the inside. And people are like, La ilaha illallah, why is Allah saying this in Surah Rahman? وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتًا. It's next, right? Allah Ta'ala says, and whoever fears the position, the place of his Lord, will get two jannas. So Allah Ta'ala literally just made everyone afraid and said, if you are afraid, you'll get two jannas, inshaAllah Ta'ala. It's beautiful. The way the Quran describes it, it's in the Surah Rahman. Why? Because it's better to know about a danger before you fall into danger. It's better to know about something before you go there. And the Prophet's mission and maqsad and objective was that people should be ready for the akhirah before they go there. They should know what's in the hereafter before they go. That's why the Prophet, and that's why our deen, our Islam, has so much about the hereafter that no other religion has. And I mean it. The Yahud have no idea what's happening in the hereafter. The Nasara have no idea what's happening in the hereafter. Such vivid details. You can literally depict the scene. From the qabr to the mizan, to the sirat, to the qiyamah, to jannah. You can describe the past. The Prophet ﷺ has given us so much vivid details. The Prophet ﷺ begins this path and he talks about it. He talks about the first step on this path. He calls it the qabr. It is the realm in which a person goes to, in which they experience the questioning. And this is the realm that you and I will all embrace. There's no doubt about it. You and I will all reach there. You're living in your house right now. You have a certain address right now. The address that is the permanent address is in the qabr. The Prophet ﷺ has described it in so many ways. Uthman radiallahu anhu was seen one time crying so much excessively near the graves. And someone said to him, "Ya Uthman, you don't cry when Jannah is mentioned. You don't cry when Jahannam is mentioned. But you cry when the qabr is mentioned." And then he said, "Why shouldn't I cry? When the Prophet ﷺ has said, 'Inna al-qabr awwal manazil al-akhirah,' that the qabr is the first of the stages of the hereafter. Whoever passes in the grave, فَمَنْ نَجَى مِنْهُ كَانَ بَعْدَهُ أَيْسَرَ مِنْهُ, that whatever is afterwards becomes easier than this. And whatever is, and if a person fails in the qabr, if a person fails in the grave, then everything afterwards will become very difficult. How is a person in the grave? He lived with so many labels on his body. He made sure to wear his Patriots hat. He made sure to have this type of, he wanted to make sure that everyone knew that I wore Louis Vuitton. And person wanted to have Prada glasses. A sister wanted to make sure everyone knows that she wears Chanel or something like that. They all wear various different labels and advertisements. We're just walking advertisements, la ilaha illallah. What happens is when a person reaches the grave, all those things vanish. The grave doesn't distinguish or differentiate between this person's from Pakistan, this person's from India, this person's from Somalia, this person's from Sudan. Doesn't matter. The grave takes it all the same. A person won't even be recognized after 100 years, which country were you from? These things the grave eliminates. A person takes no clothes with them except for the kafan that they wear. A person takes no jewelry with them they don't wear any jewelry whatsoever. A person will not take any of the money that they had. A person will not take any of the household, the cars that they had. A person, they can try their best to take, but nothing will go with them. Their family is gone, their friends are gone, they're just by themselves. And this is something that you and I will experience, not something I'm just saying. That you and I will be feeling like we're just in our graves alone. Completely alone. That's where Uthman radiallahu anhu started to cry. Saying that there's no family there. يَتْبَعُ الْمَيِّتَ ثَلَاثٌ, right? Everyone knows this beautiful hadith. Three things for all the mayyit. فَيَرْجِعُ اثْنَاهُ وَيَبَقَ مَعُهُ وَاحِدٌ, that two things return, one thing remains. His family and his wealth follow him to the grave, and then they leave him behind. And the only thing that remains is his good deeds. The only thing that remains is his bad deeds. Whatever he was able to take in terms of deeds will follow him. A person cannot take a single atom of the dunya. All the dunya you and I had in this world will vanish when we hit the qabr. May Allah save us and protect us and allow us to understand and recognize. The Prophet ﷺ would say, مَا رَأَيْتُ مَنْ ظَلَتْ إِلَّا وَالْقَبْرُ أَفْضَعَ مِنْهُ وَالْقَبْرُ أَفْضَعَ مِنْهُ وَكَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. I've not seen a single place, a single scene. I've not seen anything. And you and I have seen a lot of things in this world. We've seen a lot of things that terrify us. Things that scare us and frighten us. Things that make us not even sleep at night. Some people will hear a story about a jinn, for example. And a jinn story will not let them sleep for 2 weeks on end. I know very many kids here. They say, "Mawasab, give us a jinn story." I give them a jinn story, they say, "Mawasab, I couldn't sleep for 2 weeks. I'm sorry for giving you that. You asked for it." So the same thing what happens is what? We've seen many things in life that terrify us. But when a person reaches the grave, the Prophet ﷺ says, "I've not seen anything, but the grave is the most terrifying sight that I've seen." Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If I were to describe and elucidate and explain about the different punishments, people again would feel scared and worried. The point of the discussion today is not about getting terrified or worried. It's about recognizing something. When a person is inside their grave, they have no one with them. They're completely alone. Everything they have in this world will be gone. And this is when a person will realize, what was I living for? What was I doing with my life? What was I doing just making jama'ah of a bank account? The entire thing of my life was just making sure that the number in the bank account could be bigger, and that the house could be better, and that my family will be pleased. We can never please Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We lived a life that was just depressing and saddening to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That we don't leave with anything beneficial. The point of the grave is what? It will remind every single person, what is the point of life? That is where success is. If you want to know where success is, it is not getting $1 billion. You know, to us as Muslims in America, $1 million is a lot of money. I'll let you know that for real people who have real wealth, $1 million is not a lot of money. Billions of dollars you can have, that's still not success. Trillions of dollars you can have, you're still not success. You can take the entire dunya, become the malik of the entire dunya, still not success. لَوْ أَنَّ كُلِّ لِكُلِّ نَفْسٍ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَفْتَدَتْ بِي. That Allah Ta'ala says on Qiyamah, a person would say, "Ya Allah, to save myself from the punishment, I'll give you the entire dunya. I'll give you the entire dunya. I'll take it all and I'll give it to you, Ya Rabbal Alameen." And Allah says that will not help him on Qiyamah. Success is in the grave. And what does a person find? When a person is resting in their grave, when they're put in there, They look around and they see nothing. Just what? Just darkness. Just sadness. Just grief. Because why? The grave called out every single day. And it's great, it calls out every single day. كَيْفَ نَسِيتَنِي? How did you forget me? أَنَا حُثِّبْتَنِي? Weren't you warned about me? أَنَا بَيْتُ الْغُرْبَى أَنَا بَيْتُ الْوَحْدَى أَنَا بَيْتُ التُرَابِ أَنَا بَيْتُ الدُّودِ. The grave goes and says, I'm the place of loneliness. I'm the place of isolation. I'm the place of dirt. I'm the place of worms. How'd you forget about me? You're all going there. We're all going there. There's no dodging that place. We will all go there once. And once a person's in there, well settled, well residing in there, the grave will start to say, what did you bring? What did you bring? What did you bring? And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, when he himself finished a janazah, he sat down and started to cry. Crying so much, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, till the pebbles on the ground and the dirt on the ground started to become soaked in tears. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to the Sahaba, he said, لِمِثْلِ هَذَا فَعِدُّ لِمِثْلِ هَذَا فَعِدُّ لِمِثْلِ هَذَا فَعِدُّ. Everyone's preparing for my MCATs, for my SATs, for the fact I need to get married. I don't have a good job yet, I need to get married. You know, all these things, we're all preparing for all these things. And then what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Forget about all the things that you're preparing for. This is what you need to prepare for. The moment when you're in the grave for thousands of years and there's no one to help you except your amal al-salihah. Because why? A person will wake up, he will look around in his grave, and he will see nothing there. And then he will hear something. Something's nudging him at his feet, or nudging him at his side. And he will say, who's there? And then he says, where is my family? He starts to ask the being there. He says, where is my family? Where is my friends? Where is my children? Where is the money? Where is the house? Where is the car? Where is everything? As if he forgot everything in the dunya. And that being will tell him that all those people left. I'm your only friend here. Oh. And then the man in the grave asks the person, says, who are you? He said, Ana amaluk, I'm your good deeds. I'm your deeds. You and I are here forever. This is our path now. We're going together now as a team. We're going to follow from here. So that man said, if I knew that you were my only friend in this place, this was my only companion here, I would have chosen you over everyone else. Oh. I would have worked for you. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ wanted from us. Hearing this and recognizing that one day my qabr is my house. Isa ﷺ said that don't worry. He reminded the people, don't worry. Because why? He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put you in a much smaller place before. He said, Kunna fi arhami wa ummahatina. Allahu Akbar, right? He said, we were in the wombs of our mothers once. فَوَصَّعَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. And then Allah ta'ala expanded it. He brought us into this world. So similarly, if a person is a good person, they do good deeds, then don't worry about the narrowness of the grave. Allah will expand it for you as well, inshallah. But there are certain things that we and I need to do. You and I need to get ready and prepare for. The greatest of all these things, the Prophet ﷺ, I'll mention a couple of things, inshallah, for everyone here. The first thing that we all need to do is make a sincere habit. May Allah give us tawfiq to recite Surah Al-Mulk every single night. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, beautiful in the hadith, he said, he tells the people in front of him, اقرأ تبارك الذي بيده الملك, recite Surah Al-Mulk. And he said, وعلمها, and teach it to أهليكم وأولادكم وصبيان أهل بيتكم. He goes and says, teach your wives, teach your children, teach all the small kids in your house, teach your neighbors, he says, وجيرانكم, teach everyone this surah. Because we know this surah, the reason we know this surah has different names. Every surah has more than one name. Every surah has more than one name. The Sahaba radiallahu had different names for each surah. They said, we didn't call Surah Mulk, Surah Mulk. We called it Surah Al-Munjiyah or Surah Al-Waqiyah. Right? You're like, oh, Surah Al-Waqiyah, not Waqiyah, two different things. Right? This is what the Ayn is being important, right? Munjiyah means the surah that will save you. And Waqiyah means the surah that will protect you. And he said there was a third name, Surah Al-Mujadilah. Everyone knows Mujadila to be another surah. This is the surah they said the Sahaba radiallahu anhu called this surah, Surah Mujadila. Surah Mujadila means the surah that will argue, the surah that will defend. Because why? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says on the day of judgment, when all the books are telling you this person is going to Jahannam, this person will be punished, this person will be attacked, Surah Al-Mulk will say, Ya Allah, no. He used to recite me every night. In the Qabr, how does Surah Al-Mulk come? There are many different narrations. The most the one that is most acceptable is what? That when the angels come to ask him the questions, they say, Surah Al-Mulk comes, in whatever form it comes, it tells the angel to go away. He's resting. He used to recite me. He used to recite me with his head, meaning with his mind, and he used to stand with me at nighttime in salah. Don't touch him. Surah Al-Mulk protects the person, defends him. Ibn Mas'ud said, that we used to, whoever recites Suratul Mulk every single night, that's what I'm talking about. Every single night a person makes a habit of reciting Suratul Mulk. مَنَعُوا اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ بِهَا مِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ. Allah Ta'ala will protect that person from the punishment of the grave through Suratul Mulk. وَكُنَّا فِي عَدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. We were in the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. We used to call the surah al-mani'a. We used to call the surah the one that prevents. It prevents the punishment of the grave. When a person recites the surah, inshaAllah Ta'ala, they'll be protected. That's why when the punishment comes, the punishment starts to come from his head and from his feet. When it comes from the head side, the head says, you have no path. لَا سَبِيلَ لَكَ عَلِيَّ. You have no path to attack me here. Go somewhere else. Because this person used to recite Suratul Mulk. So I'm protected. And then it comes from the feet side and it says, لَا سَبِيلَ لَكَ عَلِيَّ. There's no path on you and me either. Because this person used to stand in the Hajjun reciting Suratul Mulk. That's why people just make a habit. It's only going to take you what? 10 minutes. 10 minutes for the eternal grave, for the eternal abode. The Prophet ﷺ, his habit was, it is a sunnah, you're reviving a sunnah, that every night he used to recite Suratul Mulk and Suratul Alif Lam Mim Sajda. The Prophet ﷺ used to recite Suratul Mulk and Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda. Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda is about three pages, five for you, 13 liner, mashallah ta'ala, Quran guys, mashallah. Okay, so it's about 5 something pages, very short. All of it together will take you a total maybe about 20 minutes. Your entire day, you can just give 20 minutes to make sure that when I hit the grave for thousands of years, I'll be protected from adab al-qabr, inshaAllah ta'ala. Another beautiful hadith, the first thing we do is recite Surah al-Mulk. The second thing that we do is what? We maintain our wudu. In a beautiful hadith reported from Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn Qayyim rahimahumullah ta'ala. Ibn Taymiyyah, it's a long hadith. But the Prophet was describing different things that he saw. And in that hadith he goes and says, I saw a man. Just one of the examples in that long hadith. I saw a man that the angel of death was coming to him, ready to take his soul, knife at his neck, ready to pull out the soul from the body. Then I saw birruhu biwalidayhi raddahu, that he saw that his treating his parents well, the good deed of treating your parents well, had prevented the angel of death from coming. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, that the angel of death was given a hukum, but Allah said, no, this person's life will be longer. What protected him? Being good to your parents. In that hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes, he said, I saw a man from my ummah in his grave, busita alayhi adabul qabr, that the entire punishment of the grave was extended for this person, completely, full-fledged punishment. But I saw fara'aytu wudu'ahu yamna'uhu, that I saw that his wudu, every being constant, regular wudu, stopped the punishment of the grave from happening. We can maintain our wudu. What do? After using the bathroom, just make wudu before you get out. Just make wudu before you get out. You don't want it to be that I pass away. Because why? People think I have a choice when I go. You don't have a choice. I don't have a choice. We will go when Allah Ta'ala wants us to go. People think I'll have a good deathbed and I can say, La ilaha illallah. Maybe you will get hit in an accident. Maybe something else will happen. We don't know. People go all the time. People think marriages are common. Divorces are common. Waliyadu billah. You know, all these things are common. People think this is common, this is common, this is common. The most common thing in all of dunya is that people die. We will die somehow. We don't know how. It will happen. Make sure you're in a state of wudu. Don't go except in a state of wudu, inshallah ta'ala. The third thing that we can do is that we start to... Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam has said very beautifully, is that tulul qunut al-amanu ala sirat. Is that standing long in tahajjud is making sure you're protected on the bridge. Wa tulul sujood al-amanu amina al-azab. And he said that if a person makes long sajda, being in sajda for a long time, this will protect him from the azab al-qabr, inshallah ta'ala. And then the last thing that we want to remember is that look, if you're a good person, if you're a believer, if you're doing good deeds, your good deeds will defend you. The good deeds aren't there to just be there. Your good deeds are there to protect you. So it's mentioned in a beautiful narration, many narrations on this topic. This beautiful narration mentioned what? That the punishment comes from all different angles. All different angles it comes. It comes from the head side, it comes from the left side, it comes from the right side, it comes from the feet side. And so when it comes from the head side, what happens? The salah comes out and says, you have no way to hurt this person. This person used to pray salah, I'm here to protect him from his head. And it's mentioned what? That a person recites Quran. The tilawah of the Quran will come out from his head side and say, no, I'm protecting him. You cannot touch him from here. Then the azab will come, the punishment will come from the right side. And say that I want to hit him from the right side. Then what happens is what? His sadaqah will come out. His zakat will come out. And the sadaqah and the zakat will say, you have no path here. He used to give sadaqah all the time. So we protect him from this side. They'll come from the left side and say, I want to hit him from this side. And then they'll say, what? The fasting will come out. Fasting will say, you have no way to hit him here. He used to fast regularly, pleasing Allah Ta'ala. I'm here to protect him. Then they'll come from his feet side. And subhanAllah, amazing thing. He said, they'll come from his feet side. And they'll say that, I want to attack him from here.
then one will come out. He's walking to the masjid, will come out. He's walking to the masjid, will come out. And he's standing at night time for the Hajj, will come out and say that you have no path here. And what is in the corner of his grave, waiting in the corner, is his sabr. Sabr fi nahiyatin, sabr hajratan, another hadith says. It is in the corner, and sabr says that I could have protected him by myself. I could have protected him by myself, but I didn't see any space for me to come. Because sabr will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in qiyamah. Allah says, none of the reward of sabr will be diminished even in the least. Everything else will protect you in the grave. Sabr Allah the reward, especially from him on the day of judgment, inshallah. A person will be protected from all angles. But we have to be good people. We have to start praying and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the final thing that I'll mention is the last thing is what? That after reading Surah Al-Mulk, after making wudu, after making long sujood, make sure we do good deeds. Last thing is that we need to make proper tawbah. The ulama write that the greatest thing, the best thing that a person will do that will protect him from the adab of qabr is that there's nothing to give adab on. There's nothing to punish. If a person made tawbah, he made tawbah from all his sins. He made tawbah from everything. And I mean in everything. Your good deeds are something. But listen, we have a lot of, your bad deeds are something. But the good deeds that we do, sometimes we're so arrogant, we think we've done a really good deed. As if we pleased Allah Ta'ala, as if everything we've done perfectly. Listen, our fiqh could be wrong, and our hearts are wrong. There's something wrong with our actions all the time. Always, that's why the Prophet ﷺ taught us after salah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Because everything we do, there's a little bit of defect. There's something wrong with it. People think we're doing everything right. I'm the best husband, I'm the best father, I'm the best parent, I'm the best this, I'm the best that. You might not be the best. And it might be better just to say, I'm a little weak at this, Allah forgive me. Because istighfar covers everything. There was a man in the time of Musa alayhi salam. Beautiful narration. That a man in the time of Musa alayhi salam. He is a sinner. He's a boy, a young sinner. He commits so many sins that people are upset. They said, look, because of you, we're going to be punished by Allah. You need to get out of here. And the way they used to punish sins in the time of Bani Israel was they used to exile people. They used to banish people. That's why Umar radiallahu anhu, Ummah, we don't banish people. Because Umar radiallahu anhu saw when people left the community, they became Christian or Jewish, they left Islam completely. So this is a terrible thing. It was okay at one time, it's not okay now. So they tell this boy, you need to get out of here. So they banish him. The boy gets out, it's a freezing night, he ends up passing away from it. Musa alayhi salam gets wahi from Allah Ta'ala. Revelation comes to Musa. Oh Musa alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala tells him, one of my awliya, one of my friends has died. Go pray his janazah. Go to him, give him ghusl, give him kafan, give him everything. Prepare him and tell everyone, whoever man hadara janazatuhu, wa man kasara isyanuhu, and whoever has many sins, whoever goes to his janazah, la aghfira lahu, I will forgive him. So now this happens, and everyone goes because everyone wants maghfira from Allah. They all go, they reach there, they see that it's the same boy that they exiled, the same boy we kicked out. They're like, what happened? Musa is also confused. And Allah reveals to Musa alayhi salam, oh Musa, this is true. This is true. This is the same boy. But before he died, نَظَرَ يُمْنَةً وَيُسْرَةً. He looked right and left. فَلَمْ أَرَ أَحَدًا فَلَمْ يَرَ أَحَدًا. He didn't see anyone. He saw himself to be alone, to be scared, to be frightened. And he only saw me. He only saw me. And at that moment he goes and says, Ya Allah, if I know that your punishment will increase you in any way, you can punish me. He's like, Allah, if you punishing me would increase you in any way, Allah, you can punish me. But if it doesn't increase you, Allah, then you can forgive me. I have no one else here for me, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Ya Allah, you're the only one I can rely on. He makes proper yaqeen tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah tells Musa alayhi salam, لَوْ سَأَلَنِي عَنْ أَهْلِ جَمِيعِ الْمُذْنِبِينَ جَمِيعًا. If you were to ask me about all the sinners of the world, I would have forgiven all of them because of this one boy. Tawbah is something exceptional. Don't lose hope. Everyone has another day. If Allah gives you breaths in your nose, that means Allah wants to forgive you. We ask Allah Ta'ala for tawfiq and hidayah. Allah make us from the people of Ahlul Jannah. Allah keep us from the protection from the adab of qabr. And we talk to Allah Ta'ala that all those people passed away, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah put nur in the qubur, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Allah raise them with Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah make all jannah fidaus, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Subhanallah, Rabbika, 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 Rab